should be lowering down now. Hi, it's the Recruiting Animal on February 11th, 2009 at 1 p.m. Maureen Sherub, the Queen Bee of Telephone Sourcing. She's going to be here to answer any questions you have about telephone sourcing. So if you want free advice, you can call in then. And speaking of Maureen, she has been bugging me for over a year to do a show on gender problems. Gender problems! I said, no, I have none! But then Peggy McKee came on this show. She started telling us that women are at a disadvantage at work because they can't pal around with the guys. So I finally gave in and I set it up. Today's our day. Just in time for Valentine's Day on gender issues in the world of careers. And while I was doing some research, you know, I can't say that. There's a lot of words I can't say, but you know what I mean. I was doing research. I came across a white paper, and it was called When Humor Isn't Funny, Gender Jokes in the Corporate Environment. And this paper claims that even though women are succeeding in the corporate world, gender oppression lingers on in the new spate of VP jokes. Now, I never heard a VP joke before, but you know what? When I read them, they seem kind of familiar. I'm going to read a few now, and I think you're going to recognize them too. Number one, what did the VP say at the performance review? The CEO told me not to hire you. She said you'd ruin my life. What did the VP say at the weekly meeting? I'm not looking for suggestions. I want you to listen. I think that's, does that make sense anyway? Let me go on. I'll get them out of the way. These are all female VPs. What did the VP say to the recruiter? I can tell everything about a candidate by looking at her shoes. And finally, an accountant says to, oh, sorry, this is not finally. The manager tells the VP he invited someone from accounting to sit in on their meeting, and the VP says, are you trying to embarrass me? This office is a mess. Now, I got another one, but you know what? I'm screwing them up. I'm not going to read them. The last one's a little subtle anyway. I don't know if you'd get it. So here's the point. Although women have managerial power now, insubordination has taken on a gender orientation. That's what they say. But, you know, they came to a surprising conclusion as well. This white paper, it recommended, you know, sensitivity training and HR policies that punish gender-related offenses. But it also pointed out that the boss in the old office jokes was also a bully, or he was an oaf, and that didn't mean that he didn't rule the roost. So boss jokes, that's what this paper says, are really the revenge of the losers. And as such, they are an implicit acknowledgement of female victory. You know what? I thought I might be a good stand-up comedian, but after telling those jokes, I don't think I am. Let's see what the panel has to say. They're pretty gender sensitive. Gender sensitive? I can't even talk. I want to talk to them, though, on the Recruiting Animal Show. And there's no guest today, so let's just go and do a little roll call. Yes,
Animal?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Are you ovulating?
That's not nice. Am I ovulating?
Yeah, you can't talk. Women supposedly can't talk.
Well, I don't know. They can't pull words together. I'm shouting.
They get all discombobulated. Are you offended?
Are you offended? I'm not ovulating. No, I'm not offended. You're offending
women.
Okay,
those are the kind of questions women get asked in the workplace.
No, you know what? I have to tell you something, Maureen. I have to tell you something.
Get out of the workplace.
Yeah, we're not. I just I'll tell you. No, no. I've had to deal with women who are cranky and they say, "Oh, I'm ovulating." And then there's other women who say, "Oh, I've got PMS." And sometimes it's the same women. They're ovulating. They got PMS. Mm-hmm. And I want.
Do you think they use that as an excuse to get out of work?
So. No, I don't think so. But I'll tell you something interesting. I didn't plan at all. I'll say it very quickly before we start. A few years ago, I was listening to a program on the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. They spoke to about six very intelligent, articulate women in their, sounded like their mid-30s. And they didn't just have PMS, and they didn't have menopause. They had something called perimenopause. At a young age, it was driving them crazy. One woman said that when, you know, it came upon her, she had to lock herself in the bathroom and just to protect her children. I mean, so they got things going on. I mean, I didn't make it up, and neither did anybody else.
Most women, when they kill,
oh, come on,
are
premenopausal. It's not your turn.
Or premenstrual.
When they kill, they're premenstrual. Oh, my God.
Okay, let's get going. So they're Maureen Sherb, the queen bee of telephone sourcing, namesorcerer.com. She already introduced herself in a very aggressive way. I don't want to suggest what physical symptoms or conditions are motivating her behavior. Area code 404, you called in first. Who are you?
Vicky Z.
Vicky Z, do I get to say your last name or leave that out?
No, you can say my last name.
Vicky Z Lauder. You know, she won a little prize, everybody. She was the runner-up to the recruiter guy because when she goes somewhere, she tells you, I'm in the restaurant at the corner of wherever right now. I'm on vacation in Prague.
Right.
This is what I'm looking at. Every 5 minutes, Mom never has to worry with her.
Yeah, you just follow her.
Yeah, I follow her. Anyway, she's a long time. She said, no more chat box for me. She used to talk to Maureen. She's here. Welcome to you, Vicky.
Thank
now,
you. Glad to be here.
Maureen is area code 513. Are you 899 or 366?
Yes.
You're
899.
899. There's somebody who's 366. Who? Do you
cool.
want to say hi, area code 513?
That would be me.
And who
recruiter.
Are you? Who?
Cincy Recruiter.
Cincy Recruiter?
Yeah.
Second time on the show. Okay, she must have some. She must be burning with something to say, but she's a cool customer. Well, you know, you can't tell from her voice. Okay, area code 707, who's that?
It's Heather Bussing. I promised I'd be here.
Heather Bussing from the
hey,
West Coast.
Hey, Heather. Hi.
Hi, girls. Now, listen, I got to tell everybody something about Heather.
You guys are in big trouble.
She pranked me. She pranked me and J.D. Jason Davis, you know. John, at the Recruit Fest, he said, well, we got you these free tickets to some comedy night at Massey Hall here in Toronto. And so I, you know, one night, 4 months later or three, I went with Jason and his wife for dinner. Then we went downtown to the show. When we got there, it was raining, but there were no tickets. Sorry, they kicked us out.
It was totally my guy's mistake.
I will owe you forever. Heather, we'll
get you. Hold that over my head.
Well, now that's my chance to get back at you. We'll see what we'll do. But I got to get through this fast now. Area code 608. Want to say hi?
Hey, Julia Stone.
Julia Stone from BizWorks.com. You know what? Do I have to spell it for everybody? Heather, do you have a website?
Not really.
You're
a photography website.
Okay. Well, I don't know. Okay, we'll pass on you. We'll talk about that later. Area code 000. Who wants to be represented by an area code like that?
How do you get one is what I want.
Who is it?
Hey, Michael, that might be me. This is Susan Burns, and I'm on
the Hey, you come up a little in the pool. You're just below the surface now, Susan. You know, Susan, I'll just do a little intro on you. You know, I'm starting to think of you as the corporate Mandarin, right? And the way you write, you know, one adjective is not enough. You need four. It's got to be sustainable, diverse, and the five or six other things when you're talking about something. And I don't like that. I just want you to know. And I'm going to have that changed. But thanks for calling in. Area 260, Jerry, verbalsummary.com.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jerry.
Hey.
You want to say hi to the girls? You're the first guy so far.
Oh, I'm the only guy that wants to talk about sex at work.
Okay. No, well, let me see. Area code 770.
What?
770, want to say hi?
Would that be me?
Yes, it is.
That's me?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
Who are you?
Pam.
Pam, it sounded like you, but I was afraid to say.
Well, when 770, I don't have a 770. That's so weird.
That would be me.
Huh. So you're 770 and I'm 404.
Oh, you're 404. Who's 770?
Yeah.
That would be me.
And me is whom?
It's Carl Chapman.
Carl Chapman, he wrote a nasty thing about sexism. Carl, the recruiting Rottweiler, CECsearch.com, and Pam Simon. She's Maureen's protege and a veteran of this show. Okay.
Ask Pam about her website.
Pam, do you want to tell us your website?
It's called thehappyspinster.ning.com, which addresses some of these issues.
The Happy Spinster.
And you're all invited.
Okay, great. Okay. Okay, first of all, I want to say something about female recruiters. I did some research. Anybody can cut me off, but there was a poll, a snapshot poll it was called. I guess that means a slipshod one, by a company called Perriam and Everett in England, their recruiting firm. And they, I don't know how many people they spoke to, but the poll, they talked to recruiting managers about gender differences in recruiters. 98% of those managers said the top performers in their firms are evenly split between men and women. 78% of them said that half or more of the senior roles are held by women. I just want to give an idea of what's going on in the recruiting world. So 64% of them said that women are better at negotiating their salaries than men. Men focus on the money they bring in, the fees, and women show how they add value through leadership, mentoring, problem solving, and customer service. And according to McKinsey, the research they did in Europe, the big consulting firm, there's evidence of a link between profitability and women at the top. So these companies are really benefiting by having these recruiters who have a lot of good soft skills. And apparently it's a similar situation in the USA. Any comment on that? I just thought I'd give some statistics on recruiters.
You say apparently it's similar in the USA. Is that what it
said? Yeah, a study by Catalyst in the USA found that companies with the highest proportion of female directors are more profitable and efficient than those with the lowest. Hmm. Maureen,
cool.
I'll give you that. Maureen, you push for the show. Should we talk about backstabbing first? Is that your choice?
No, we don't have to go to the gutter right away.
We've already been there.
Segue.
This is Maureen's biggest complaint about gender issues. She said women will go out of their way to stab each other in the back. When did I say that, Animal? You said it many times. In fact, it's on the recording with Peggy McKee. Okay? And whether you said it or not, it's believed.
I was on the show. I heard her say it.
Okay.
I sent her an article
about it by Phyllis Chesler.
I don't know that they'll go out of their way, but they will do that.
And you sent me back a note, can I publish this? It's delicious, okay? So don't deny it.
That was about Chris Rock, right?
That was how it started. It wasn't about Chris Rock, okay?
And Chris Rock says, what was it? He was telling a joke about
how it's with the women. I'll tell what he said, you're not doing a good job. He said that, you know, whenever you talk to a woman, there's someone screwing her at work, another woman, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. Now, just let me give my explanation, and I'll throw the floor open. Apparently, this is caused by – and Jim Durbin, who didn't call in, gave me some interesting info here. This is caused by the subordinate status of women. They couldn't do anything on their own. They had to appeal to men to, you know, get an idea accepted. No, that's true. I believe it's true. And so they were forced into a competitive relationship with each other because they're stuck in this relationship to men. They can't strike out on their own, so they have to compete with other women. And because they can't do so in a forceful way, because that was considered to be unfeminine, they have to be underhanded about it and devious. So there's a very strong tradition of sucking up to men and backstabbing other women. It's because they were a subordinate class. Now, here's the interesting thing. You'd think because things are changing and women are moving into executive roles that they wouldn't suffer from that anymore. But Jim Durbin sent me to a website that showed that now with women's liberation, there's going to be a majority of women on college campuses. So that means that because of the asymmetrical gender relations, they're going to be competing with each other for guys, and that will again put them into a trap where they're in very intense competition with other women. Anybody have any comments about that?
I'm sorry, I fell asleep. What was that?
Oh, right. Okay. Heather?
This is Heather. I
I have found that I was on the cutting edge of women coming into the workforce as attorneys. And so I blew into big law firms when all of the people in charge were male and all of the women were subordinate. And they didn't want to work for me. And they didn't like me and they didn't want me, you know, they wanted a partner and they wanted the partner to be a man. And so I had to go through a man to get another woman to get anything done. And that's changed a lot over time. And when I moved to San Francisco and started getting all male secretaries, that helped a lot too. Because they didn't have problems working for women. But I have found that women...
That's another show, Heather,
against,
by the way. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's another show.
I there is absolute truth in the idea that women often have difficulty working with other women and competing with women when there are males in charge. Now, I have also had my own businesses and worked with women-led businesses, and I found that that's a completely different situation. It's much more collaborative, much more supportive, much more flexible. Things get worked out rather than edicts getting issued. And
Are there males involved?
Sometimes, but they're not the ones in power.
Hey, Animal, this is Vicki. Now, I've had a situation that's been a little different. I've worked in corporations where I've headed up a team, but what's happened is I'm reporting to a female who, of course, is then reporting to the CEO, and then all of my peers are also female. And quite honestly, I have had issues where those other females that were my peers did everything that they could behind my back to my boss to make me look like the biggest idiot in the world. I mean, they were not collaborative at all.
Okay, but guys do the same thing, right?
I don't know.
They compete
we're
with
not
each other.
We don't know. I don't know
but they do, not in the same way.
Right. That guys don't do it in a vindictive way.
Right.
Guys are used to being out on the football field and beating the crap out of each other.
You know what? I got to tell you something. First of all, that's that apparently is a cultural thing. More working class than middle class. They don't say, "Come on, let's take this outside in any offices," or at least not many of them that I've been in. So I don't know if there is this straightforward, let's beat the crap out of each other and forget about it. And lots of guys are pricks. I mean, I don't usually talk like that on this show, but it's just true. Or they just don't like each other. They're not bad people. They just, have it in for somebody else.
So they avoid each other?
Or
they sabotage each other?
Look at the Sopranos, okay?
Okay.
There you go. What about Carl?
They kill each other.
Recruiting Rottweiler. Any comment? Let's bring him in.
Who?
The recruiting Rottweiler. He went to military school.
Yes, I did.
So, are women? I guess you don't know because you were there. Do they compete with each other in a different way than men do?
Not that I've noticed.
Okay. Jerry.
Hey, Animal.
Yeah.
Is this the Cincy Recruiter? Do you have me open here?
Yeah, you're open. We can hear you.
Okay.
I'm talking to you.
Well, I don't know. You're always cutting people off, so I didn't know if I got cut off earlier.
Come on. Let's go.
I don't know that women are less competitive than men in the workplace. What I think is that women, it's the reason why they're good salespeople and maybe better recruiters, as you mentioned earlier, because they're very relationship-focused. So they tend to take the same behaviors personally. Where guys don't take it personally when other people do things to get ahead of them at work, a lot of times women do. So I don't know that the behaviors are different. I think sometimes our perception as women is, why did she do that to me instead of, oh, that was crappy. I'm going to see what I can do to get ahead of that person.
Okay, do you want me to say your email address before I answer you? I mean, not your email, your website. We didn't give your website.
You can say my website and my email address if you'd like.
CincyRecruiter.com, is that correct?
That is correct.
CincyRecruiter.com. And Jennifer, No, Jennifer McClure. You know, I always think Jennifer Murphy is your name. Anyway, it's McClure. But you know what? I got to tell you something. I've read so many little essays saying that, you know, women are consensus builders, and when they're happy, they hug each other and stuff like that. And then Maureen's always pushing this idea that they're very bitter enemies, and I read it as well. And I read other stuff while I was looking there. I didn't bring it onto the show, but, you know, in these chat groups, there's women, or on forums, there's girls and women agreeing with the kind of thing Maureen says. And yet I know Maureen has women friends. She's been friends with Pam for a long time, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but Maureen's a different kind of person. And the women, I got to tell you, and I came from an extremely male-dominated, you know, career for a long time.
You're from
the
media.
What it was, Pam.
Formerly, a radio announcer.
Yeah, formerly in radio, marketing and in and on air, and you know, where it was 90% men and maybe 10% female on any given level in any department, you know, inside any one group. And it's been interesting for me to figure out, you know, the women that I have seen the pettiness of women in the workplace, especially women in management that came up through an extremely male-dominated, you know, business. If they make it to the management level, they often undercut the other women around them. And I guess it's because maybe their mentality is they only want to be the one queen bee. But the other women that I have worked well with, period, are the ones that I consider entrepreneurial, who've done their, been that, and, you know, were self-starters and self-growers.
Like Maureen, eat what you kill, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And those are the women that are really the most pragmatic in their thinking, the most sober in their thinking, and the most fair in their thinking, and there's not that pettiness or this queen bee mentality. It's a different kind of thing.
Boy, this is an endorsement for men, it sounds like to me. You love the
However, on the other side of this, I will say that it has been men, for the most part, that, you know, helped me along, but I also, for a long time, did the work, might have even pulled, you know, triple my weight when I worked for men and got paid anywhere from a third less to 50% less than they did. And believe me, I've seen men be very petty with women, you know, but so it's
okay,
kind
I'm
of an...
Okay, I'm going to cut you off.
Okay.
I'm going to do what Jennifer said. Enough. Susan, sorry, Pam.
Fine.
Susan, before I move on, have anything to say there? You must have worked with a lot of women in your corporate environment.
Yeah, and I think that it's, you know, it's too easy to just say it's a gender thing, because too often, and I think this is some of what's coming out, it comes down to the individual, it comes down to relationships. What happens often with women, and I think that we'll see this start to slowly change, because Title IX had a huge impact on how...
What's Title IX? I don't know.
Title IX is what required... schools to offer sports programs to women.
Oh, okay. Jim was talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and so the big difference there
that
was that
in
women
in
came
the
into
70s?
Team sports, they
yeah,
learned different
means.
Skills. And so they learned skills about how to work in larger groups. Otherwise, if you, and there's a great, very old book that was written called In a Different Voice, that talked about if you put two girls together, they're fine. As soon as you add the third one in, boy, all hell breaks loose.
Right.
You know, because it becomes very competitive. And so what I've seen, I mean, I've worked in retail that was predominantly women, and I've worked in PR, which was predominantly women. I did not see the same kind of things in retail. There was not the kind of what I would call sort of pettiness and backstabbing and superfluous kind of BS in the retail world that I saw in PR.
Why is that? Why is that? Let's wrap it up. Why is that? You know?
You know, I from my own observation, I'd say that in retail, they're so much more immersed in the business and have come up with men, and they focus on the core aspects of the business. There isn't the gossipy kind of stuff that happens that I saw. But at the same time, I don't think that's assessment for all of PR. This could have been the culture within one organization.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Hey, you didn't say my website. I'm just feeling a little left out because you said everybody else's website.
Whose website?
Mine.
Whose?
Mine.
Who's this? I don't
this
know who I'm
Susan.
Talking to.
It's
Susan, you've got a website? Oh,
yes,
sis. Okay, sorry, go ahead. Yeah, I always think of you as oriented to Talent Talk Cafe. So is it talentsynchronicity.com?
It is. Thank you.
talentsynchronicity.com. Only problem is the people who listen to this show, they don't know how to spell synchronicity. And I would never, I would never pick a complex word like that myself. As you can tell, recruiting animals, nice and simple. And, okay, let me just come very quickly. I want to wrap this part up because we're going on. But listen, with what Pam was talking about, the queen bee, there's actually something called the queen bee syndrome. At least it has been tagged as such. Successful women, quoting, it used to be seen as loners who shunned helping other women. They didn't like to help other women. They, you know, they had to work their way up according to the men's ethos. They took on a managerial style that is apparently that of men, not women. And then once they got to the top, they tried to get rid of all their female rivals. That's apparently a standard thing. Wall Street Journal says it's of the past now. There's a lot of female executives forming networks of women to help each other, just like an old boys network. This is like the female counterculture. And there was an interesting quote. One woman said, a female executive, she said, "One of the mistakes I made earlier in my career was not building those relationships with the people who say when positions are being filled," because they just sort of talk to each other and say, "What about so-and-so? What about her for that job?" People they know. And if you don't know the people, you're not on their radar. Anybody got a comment about that? About networking?
I think, this is Heather. I definitely experienced the whole queen bee mentality, you know, back in the 80s. Back, you know, the whole dress for success movement had men, you know, in Brooks Brothers suits and then women with the little tiny string ties, and we were supposed to look exactly like men, only cuter in skirts and be smarter and work harder. And do everything just the way that men did, only better. And in the 90s, people, you know, as women started working their ways up into management, they started being assertive about, you know what, that's not the way I want to do this. This is, you know, I would like more team building. I would like to, you know, drive to the Museum of Modern Art field trip with my kid, and I'm going to make some changes with flex time, and I'm going to
What we're talking about?
Flex time?
No, yeah, we're talking about networking with other women. Come
well,
on, Heather.
Well, I think all of that happens because of collaboration with women in power, and as the cultural changes toward women and women attaining power changed.
I'm cutting you off. Yeah, you're off
okay.
topic. You're off
All
topic.
Right.
You
Sorry.
Know, Vicky, what kind of woman, or modern woman, are you? You send me a note instead of speaking up.
Hey, I can't get a word in edgewise.
I didn't tell everybody. She's too polite. I didn't tell everybody her website because I didn't know she had one. It's,
oh, please.
It's ZMC2.com. ZMC2. Here in Canada, we would say ZMC, but since we're not, I'll say ZMC. It's got a nice landing page.
The number two?
Yeah, number two. Right, Vicky?
Yeah, it needs to be updated, but...
Does that mean something like Einsteinian, or what does that mean?
Well, my middle initial is Z.
Yeah?
And, you know, MC squared is energy at the speed of light. So
yeah.
I am the energy of my business at the speed of light. Get it?
Yeah. Since you're a recruiter, why don't you take some lessons from Vicky when you're picking your URL? Okay. Does anybody have a burning issue? Yeah, okay. Does anybody have a burning issue? Is there anybody here I didn't give a prize to at the Recruiting Animal Award?
Not.
Okay. So I have some topics, but does anybody have an issue? Jerry, you've been quiet. I notice you've been going on and off.
Jerry has
the
issues.
No,
Jerry
it
has
does.
Issues.
No, I don't have issues, but I've been checking out Pam's Happy Spinster site.
Yeah.
And I find myself now watching some kind of soft porn. One of the links. I'm
what
sorry
point?
If I've
that's great. That. Everybody's going to go there now, Pam.
If I've drifted in and out, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm headed there right now.
I don't know either. I'm going to have to figure out what it is.
It is.
Oh,
that.
Pam, I know what it is. It's that woman who slept with six guys that Rick put up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you follow that story, and it's one beyond there. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I've been there.
Okay, let's take
Don't
a related
go.
Topic. Heather said, I read Heather. Heather left a note on recruitingblogs.com, Heather Bussing, and she said that in the law firm, her bosses told her to wear short, tight skirts and high heels. Now, Heather, I used to have a girlfriend in the 80s who was a lawyer. First she was a law student, and then she became a lawyer. And you know what? I don't remember her, you know, complaining at all about sexism. Half her class was women, and she got a job immediately at a law school. So she didn't like me, but that's another story, right? I didn't cause her those kind of problems. So you actually had lawyers telling you to dress sexier or just sharper? Come on.
Sexier and like a girl. I was sent home out of court in the early 80s by a judge who said that wearing pants in the courtroom was not appropriate courtroom attire for a woman, and that he would not hear my motion until I went home and put on a skirt.
Oh, that's crap.
And that was a long time. It was almost 30 years ago, right? 25 years ago?
No, mid-80s.
Mid-80s.
So 20 years ago.
Yeah, okay, so that's kind of history now, though, isn't it? I mean, it's
just shame.
But it happened.
Just let it go.
Yeah, it was a while ago. I don't think that would happen.
Heather's
today.
Let it go, rest assured.
You know,
in advertising,
the articles that I was seeing on RBC, you know, I think Jim Durbin brought up some of them, were that, you know, we want to see women in makeup, in skirts, you know, dressed beautifully. And that's what a competent, accomplished woman, you know, looks like. And I bristle at that.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about.
Recruiter?
No, this is
yeah.
Heather. Heather Bussey.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering.
Go ahead. Okay, but okay. I don't know. It's hard. I'd have to take a look at those articles. I never encountered that. Although once I was working on an executive assistant position, a very senior one, and they wanted someone who was a sharp dresser who looked really good. And it didn't mean she had to look sexy. She just looked sharp in the way she presented herself. Otherwise, I've never heard anybody talk about anything like that. But Maureen always tells me I live in a bubble. Anybody agree with Heather on that?
Yeah, Michael, this is Susan. You know, in the state of California in the late 80s had to pass a law saying that women were allowed to wear pants to work. So when I first started my department store career, we were not allowed to wear pants. We had to wear skirts or dresses.
Mm-hmm.
And
What year is it now?
This was probably like 20 years ago. I think that was in
20 years ago. Come on, let's keep it. I got to tell you, you guys,
you don't
you know,
think these things matter, Animal. Is that what you're saying?
No. I'm just saying, is it happening now?
I'm going to keep talking.
Absolutely.
I haven't said anything yet. But 2 weeks ago, I had a new client who told me that Monday through Thursday, women are expected to wear skirts at all times. Fridays are casual day, and they can get away with pants. 2 weeks ago.
And what do you think of that, Julia?
Well, I think my response is, are you kidding?
And what do you say to him or her?
You mean the guy who wrote me a note saying that girls had to wear skirts and gentlemen had to wear ties? That guy?
Yeah.
I asked them if this was from the 80s or if they'd updated their code in the last 20 years.
And what happened? Did you turn away his business?
No, because I work with all men. You got to learn to work around these things,
Animal. Good woman, Julia.
I got pity for you, Julia. You got to earn a living, okay?
You got to earn a living, that's right.
Puts you in an awkward position.
I wouldn't work there.
Okay, so, you know, it's unfortunate. You know, but talk about, you know, looking at the past. I have to tell you, I know I'm opening myself up to attack here, but I think everybody I know has always been, you know, for equal rights. However, when I see these jerks in Afghanistan mistreating women, I really become a lot more sensitive to anything like that might happen here, because you realize how far this kind of stupid stuff can go. You know, if they wear the wrong socks or some color on their fingernails, they'll really physically abuse them. So,
Pam, what was that book we just read, 1,000 Splendid Sons? That's
right.
A wonderful book to address what you're talking about.
And it
okay.
was written by an Afghanistan writer.
Okay, Afghani writer. Okay, Carl Chapman.
Yes.
Carl, you be
yes.
quiet, and I sent you the note because you wrote something about salaries, right? Something angry.
I didn't write anything angry.
Okay, what was it? Didn't you say it was hogwash?
Yes, I did say it was hogwash.
Why don't you tell us about that?
I'm looking at the article right now. Study claims women paid 20% less than men.
I don't believe that. I say
hogwash.
Why?
It's ridiculous.
No, it isn't.
Absolutely, it's ridiculous.
Why?
I can
prove it empirically. We don't have to.
What
even
if I can
numbers.
Prove it empirically?
Yeah. Okay.
You can.
Let's give him a chance, Pam.
If women were paid 20% less, then free market capitalism would replace all overpaid workers with women.
Let's go in there.
And
objection, misstates reality.
Right.
Because businesses are in business to make a profit. If a CEO could increase his bottom line by 20%, then they would do it.
By hiring only women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if they're biased, Rottweiler, and they think that women aren't as good, then they're not going to go for the worst offer, right? They're going to go for the guy even if he's more expensive.
Correct.
Susan Burns, she posted census statistics released on August 26, 2008, less than a year ago. It relates to the time period from 2006 to 2007, and it said that women on average, and maybe that's a really bad framework to use here, but they said they earned 77.8% of what men earn. Jim Durbin, who didn't show for some reason, what did he say? I wrote it down. It was so wonderful what Jim said. He said, "I'm armed to the teeth and ready to dialogue." I don't think those two
and
go together.
And then he doesn't show.
Did those two go together? I'm armed to the teeth. Anyway, he said he gave me another statistic from also a good source. He said, if you look at childless people, people who've never had kids between the age of 27 to 33, women's earnings are 98% of men's, not 77.8. So he said it's the salary differences reflect work style preferences, not a bias against women on the job. And I have to tell you, I can only remember one situation where someone told me, another recruiter, he said, I think this guy would rather have a man in this position. It's just not something that hits me in the face. Does anyone ever get that kind of thing? Let's just
Absolutely.
Talk about our own experience.
This is Jennifer. I have, both in corporate America in the past, under the table, been told that, we either want a woman or a man in this position for whatever reason, and clients do that today.
And it's illegal, right?
It is illegal. So
it is illegal.
You have to talk to them about what it is they're looking for the job and try to find the best fit, but you never address the gender issue with the people that you're looking for them.
Right.
And has it ever happened? I don't want to put you in an awkward position, but are you free to talk about this? You raised it.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
So has it ever happened that when they make it clear that you've actually placed someone of the opposite gender in that role? Want to give us a war story?
I have done that. It's usually you have to spend a lot of time talking about what it is they're trying to accomplish. And
what reasons do they give? Can you give us an example why they'd want a man or a woman in a specific role?
It's usually some sort of bias. They worked with someone in the past who was a female and didn't work out, so therefore no female will. Or I've had more than once, particularly in a sales role, where they will request a woman because they feel that women are better salespeople, better at developing relationships, better.
You want to know something? Let me just put this to you. Penelope Trunk wrote an article once. She said that cheerleaders are fantastic salespeople, and she recommended that everybody, especially for pharmaceuticals or whatever, hire people who were cheerleaders.
They do.
Is that legitimate?
They do.
I'm a cheerleader.
It's not because they're
clearly on drugs.
they're lively people, and not only that. Hold on a second, Harry Joyner. He also recommended that if you have a candidate who was an Eagle Scout, obviously a male, he said hire that person because they are separate special people, and those groups or categories they belong to, maybe it's changing, I guess, are generally men or women. So there could be a certain logic to it in some situations. Anybody want to talk about that?
Well, Animal, I'm an Eagle Scout.
Oh, boy.
I was a cheerleader.
Okay, congratulations.
I'll reserve comment.
Okay, who was that, Julia? Julia,
yeah,
were you
Julia.
A cheerleader?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're a lie. I would hire you, Julia. Just on the, I hardly know you, but you made a good impression on me. Okay, but here's another thing. Let me switch gears there. I'm still saying Jennifer can be the point woman here if she wants to be. I read a lot of articles before the show, and one of them really makes the point that women are better managers, and it went into detail. Lots of them just mention it briefly. Josh Letourneau sent me to an article by Tom Peters, who also says women make better managers. And the reason is I think they have a larger corpus callosum, which is the connection between the left and right sides of their brains, makes them more flexible. And here's the thing that it said. It said, women want to build, men want to win. That's from the Mars-Venus Institute in New York, okay? Women are more willing to explore compromise and solicit other people's opinions. Sounds like Barack Obama. And let me see. Men are afraid to ask for advice because they're afraid people are going to think they're stupid. So they're more egotistic. I don't know what that says about that backstabbing issue. There seems to be a lot of contradictions. But just let me read a few things. It says women are more accessible to their staff. They encourage openness. They respond more quickly to calls for assistance. They're more tolerant of differences. They identify problems more quickly. They're better at defining job expectations and providing feedback. They express appreciation more often. They ask questions, whereas men give answers. They're better at delegating, and you want to delegate outcomes, not tasks, so you have to be able to let go. Give the person the outcome and let them come up with their own method. Women do that better because their self-esteem is multifaceted, whereas with men, it's one-dimensional. And I'll just go on a bit more. It says, by communicating goals more readily and expressing appreciation more often, women make their staffers feel recognized and rewarded, and money is not the main reason talented people stay on the job. They stay because of the relationships, and women get that, and men don't. Success comes, I'm almost done, from empowering your talent, and women are better at making the staff feel charged up and valued. After reading that, why wouldn't you hire a woman instead of a man for a managerial position, and would that be sexism?
Well,
Jennifer,
can I get a copy of that article too?
I'll email it to you after the show. But listen.
Now,
listen.
If anybody should be sick of stereotyping, it would be women, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And that was one giant stereotype, and I'm about ready to puke.
Okay.
I don't find that accurate.
I'm with you, Jerry.
I'm depressed. I think I'm a guy now.
You're a guy. Well, you know what? I think there's a lot of feminine guys on this show, to tell you the truth.
Right, Carl?
No, sir.
That's what Pam said. Susan, did you say it's true?
No, I said I don't agree with it at all.
Why not?
I'm with you, Susan.
Well, first off, if I think of all the people that I've worked for, I would say that out of 100%, 75% have been men, and they have been better, more effective leaders. They've been more fair. They've been more consistent. I've worked for some incredible women, so I don't want to, not recognize that. But, and I've had a number of managers work for me, both female and male. And I'd love to see the stats on that because, from my own experience, I don't find it to be true.
There couldn't be any stats on it because it's all characterization. That's not data. I mean, that guy doesn't have any data on
that. Yeah, unless they were doing
it
from performance reviews or some other kind of, like, psychometric testing or something. But still, yeah it is empirical.
Whoever that was is a blowhard.
That was a woman wrote that article. It's very up-to-date. It's from 2009. And not only that.
It doesn't make it true.
Hold on. Let me just finish. It said that a lot of this stuff is biologically based. I mean, that's why I started off by telling you. Men have bigger brains, but women have a lot of nerve fibers that connect the two sides of their brains, they can switch more easily.
Exactly.
Between verbal and logical and intuitive functions, whereas men tend to be left brain. True or not, I don't know, but the idea here is that women are constitutionally better managers, and it's going to be seen more and more that businesses that are run by women have better people, better retention, more attractive in terms of recruiting and things like that. So there
you go. Women may be better managers, but it's really about who's the better leader.
Yeah, and Carla did a hell of a job at HP, didn't she?
Yeah. Okay. So Jennifer, you want to say something about that? I'll let you talk about it, and then we'll see who else has something. Better leader, better manager. What are you talking about?
I don't disagree with you in the sense that I think women are better at consensus and team, just in general. That is a big generalization. I have myself, in 20-plus years, never worked for a woman and have always either been the only woman on the leadership team or the first. So I can't really speak to what it's like to work for one, but it's really about, at the top, who is the better leader. And to Susan's point earlier, it's about who can make the best decisions with the least amount of data and assemble the right team of people. Women often, not always, look for the team win and consensus, and that's not always the best path to leadership.
That's interesting, but women are supposedly more intuitive, right, because they've got this better connection to the right side of their brain. If you have a little information, you have to make a decision. Wouldn't intuition help you in that situation?
They're more intuitive, but it's the same as I said earlier. They're also very relationship-focused, so sometimes they'll make a decision to protect the relationship rather than what needs to be done in order to happen in the business.
You know what it said here?
Do you really think? You know what? There's one thing that I know that women are better than men at, and that's having a baby. Aside from that, I think that this is all a bunch of garbage, and you're just – if you say women are more intuitive or men are better leaders, all you're doing is
well, let's be clear. I did not say men were better leaders. I said it's about leadership.
This is an interesting discussion.
I guess it would be hard for a woman to say that a man was better.
Listen, all I know is here we are today, and I've had CNBC on all morning, and we've had 9 executives, I mean the very top in the banking and financial investment world, sitting before a congressional committee today.
And Maxine
9
Waters.
Of them. 9 of them, and they're all male. Every one of them are male. And even the financial commentators who talk to Wall Street every day say these are guys with extremely big egos. And I have to tell you, I don't know if I'm agreeing anymore that men make the better leaders.
Okay.
And it kind of starts leaning toward a political bent. But, you know, when we watch, you know, where our country is and how our country's been run.
Pam, get to the point.
The point is I don't believe that, you know, males make better leaders.
Okay, fine.
Well, again, I didn't say Mickey Z
hasn't said anything for 10 minutes or 20.
I'm listening.
Well, here's your chance. I know you're extra polite. She's especially a polite person. Do you want to say something?
Well, I would say that in some instances, yes, women have better intuition, and in some instances, men can be better leaders, but in some instances, women can be better leaders than men.
She's running for office.
No, I'm not. My specific experience has been this. I have had males reporting to me, and the way that I always operated was we're a team. So when I had somebody, you know, male or female, on my team go out on vacation, I would pick up their slack. But the women that I have reported to in the past, and I will say early on in my career, I had women that were very willing to take me under their wings and really help me get ahead. But in one specific instance, there was just a whole team of women that were doing everything they could, like scratching and clawing. It was ugly for everybody to try to keep everybody else down so that they could look the best. You know, my personal tactic is I don't need to make anybody look bad for me to look good, and I think there's enough for everybody. So call me Pollyanna, and where's my song, Mr. Blue Sky?
I didn't know you had a song. I didn't know you had a song. You have a dance song. Sorry, next time.
I'm curious. Who did they want to make each other look bad in front of? The female boss or the CEO? And by the way, was the CEO a male or a female?
The CEO was a male, and it was all very everybody came. It was a corporate organization, but everybody came from a consulting organization. So they were making that transition. The senior level people were making that transition from being consultants to actually running a business. And so it wasn't the CEO that there was an issue with. It was the VP of Human Resources that I reported to and all the other...
There's no crying in baseball!
Why don't you leave her alone, Jimmy?
Oh, you zip it, Doris! Roger Hornsby was my manager, and he called me a talking pile of pig. And that was when my parents drove all the way down from Michigan to see me play the game. And did I cry?
No.
And you know why?
No.
Because there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. No crying.
Crying in corporate America.
Thank you, Vicki. Heather Bussing, haven't heard from you for a while. Do you want to say something?
Yeah, well, I was thinking a lot about this, and I think a lot of the traits that make a good leader are not necessarily gender specific. So I think risk taking is a big one, and it's easy to generalize and say, oh gosh, men take more risks than women, but I don't think that's true. I used to jump out of perfectly good airplanes, and I also think that being able to really delegate something for results and not micromanage or have to control the details along the way and to let people screw up along the way and make mistakes and find their way through. And I think the stereotype is that women have a harder time doing that, but it hasn't been my experience, and that's the way that I prefer to work.
You're in Carl's camp. You don't see any radical differences between men and women, right?
I think there are big differences, but I think they complement each other, and I think they should be acknowledged and appreciated, and used to their strengths, and that none of them preclude a particular job. What you want is the right individual with the right skill set.
You guys, come on. You women have to get more to the point. No speeches. What's your point? Please, Heather.
You don't have one now. Size doesn't matter. It's what you do with it.
Okay. I'll make a point.
No, I wanted to, Harry, Jerry, I just want to go. Carl says there's no radical differences necessarily. Heather says there's some differences, but no one's really pointed them out that much. She said nobody has said that they've worked for women and the women were better or the men were necessarily better. It's like we're all, it seems to me, in agreement. There's no radical differences between working with anybody of either gender, although there's a separate issue about discrimination, and we can go on to that later. Jerry, do you have something else to say?
Not anymore. You just covered it.
I did, eh?
Surprising.
Does everybody agree with my summary of what's going on, or is there something else?
But
well,
women do cry at work, though, which is men don't.
Men, women do cry. Women do cry. I think that
at work.
Do they?
I absolutely reserve the right to cry at work or anywhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah, and men don't.
Yeah.
Do you think tears are a weapon?
Yeah.
I know they are.
I've seen them used that way.
I mean, they can be, but I got to tell you, there are some women I know that get so fighting, frustrated, and mad that they just got to cry and they get it out and they're done.
Exactly.
Feel free to do it in the ladies' room.
No, I think sometimes when it hits.
You don't need to stand at your office and bawl.
So if you
cry. I think sometimes, you know, it absolutely communicates the absolute level, if necessary, of the moment.
Okay.
It comes down to intention.
So you think they're fair, Pam? You think they're fair in the workplace?
I think that if it happens, you know, if it absolutely happens, I think that it's not about fair or not. It just happens.
It's about being weak.
It's not about being weak at all.
That's how men see it. I'll just
stuff across the boardroom or slam doors or fire people irrationally.
Right.
It's the exact same reaction, just fueled by testosterone.
It's just different. I find tears in the workplace. It's a conundrum for that particular woman in the sense that they're trained. Don't raise your voice because you'll be considered too aggressive or a bitch and, you know, all those horrible labels. So the tears come when there's just no other way to express the intensity or the seriousness of what you're trying to convey in that moment.
I've seen them used as a weapon.
Me too.
And
how do tears make you feel, Jerry?
No. Let Carl finish, Maureen.
Oh, Carl. I'm sorry, Carl. How do tears make you feel?
I've seen them used as an attempt to manipulate.
Okay, so they're used as a weapon to manipulate.
Let him talk, Maureen.
Exactly.
You're
right.
Not the host. I'm the host.
And I haven't seen them used as pressure relief valve when the situation was so frustrated that the female didn't have any other way of expressing herself. They were used to manipulate the situation. And I think that women are taught to do that.
No, that's not true.
That is not
women
true.
Are taught to go against their nature, which is to not cry.
This is Julia, and I'm just embarrassed about this entire conversation. I cannot believe this conversation is about tears. This just pisses me off.
Yeah.
Why? I think that's a real valid topic.
I think it's
Why?
A ridiculous topic. I think Why? It's a ridiculous I think it's ridiculous for women to cry in the workplace, okay?
You think it's ridiculous
now?
For women
I think
to cry?
This is part of the problem.
Hold on.
I know. To cry.
Well, wait a second. Wait just 1 second. I'm having a problem with my long distance. Maureen, I'm going to hang up and call back. You're in charge while
okay.
I'm gone.
Finally. Finally.
Well, I don't find tears ridiculous at all.
I do.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I guess I've been in an unusual work environment, but I mean, I've been on, honest to God, the front lines of some very serious stuff in the name of journalism. And sometimes when you're, you know, doing something for the public good and the emergency is so big, I have seen people break down, so to speak, in the office or on the front line and cry, but
well,
they're still getting
their
job done.
We're not talking about
the office environment that we're talking about.
Yeah,
though.
We're not
that
talking
is,
about
yeah.
humanity.
But we are. We're talking
here.
About the workspace,
no,
and there
not.
Are times when
talking
it's okay.
About the natural catastrophe.
Pam, you're stuff. Talking about Katrina, Mississippi.
Not only that, but
well, we all should be crying when we're down
listen,
there.
I've even seen. Listen, I even have friends who are surgeons that, in the moment, after like 9 hours of working on somebody, they get pissed off. And they have an outburst of emotion, and it could be a tear, but they get right back to it.
Females or males?
We're talking about corporate America, though, not where children's lives are at stake, or people have lost limbs, and you're covering it.
Even in advertising, there are people when the money stakes are so high, and there is a very heated debate going on, that when you just won't give someone their voice. Sometimes they just got a grit and it comes out.
No, you need to learn how
but
to.
You know, even in series of stress.
Who
detail,
is this, Julia?
No, this is Susan.
Susan.
If you have a group of managers that have been working nonstop over a holiday season, 12 hours a day.
You're going to see it.
6 days a week, they can lose it. Take one customer that's going to come in and start screaming at them, and they lose it. So I don't think the issue is tears. I think the issue is intention. You know,
right.
if it's tears that come out of a situation that's pure, authentic emotion, then I think as managers and leaders, it's our responsibility to work with that individual in that situation.
Right.
If tears, just like being overly feminine and using your sexuality to get what you want, if that's the intention, then that's a completely different type of discussion. So, you know, it's interesting because what we're trying to do with this is try and break away the generalizations, yet we keep falling back into talking about generalizations.
Yeah.
Right. I got to tell you something, Susan. In my experience, women cry a lot more than men. However, more men would cry if they were allowed to, and I'll prove it. The ultimate chick movie. What's the ultimate chick flick? Anybody know? Jerry Maguire. Jerry Maguire. It's about football, so the guys can go, but it's all about a supportive woman and sensitive relationships, and at the end, they got that guy who makes everybody cry, the sports announcer or the interviewer. Who's that, Carl? Do you know his name? Yeah, everybody cries, and everybody starts crying. And that's my experience. Women cry more. However, just like in that movie, guys will cry, too, if they're in a situation and they're allowed. Sports guys always cry when they resign from their team or something, right?
Yep.
That's
okay.
right.
Okay,
it's called
great.
Coming off steroids.
Tears for everybody.
Okay. You think we talked enough about tears?
enough about
beers.
Tears.
Hey, how about a show about gender issues called Tears and Beers?
Forget it. Forget about it.
Okay, this is Maureen. Can I ask something? Is Julia still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Julia, are you pissed off because we were talking about tears in the workplace? You don't think
you want to give her a hug, Maureen?
I want to know why she's pissed off. I want to know why this is.
Because we're having a – but here's why I'm pissed off, because the entire discussion today revolves around everybody's one particular incident and where something happened and how that's sexist, instead of looking at a broader picture, and that pisses me off.
Yeah.
Huh?
I think we should have more discussions on this. What do you think, Julia?
I think it's too painful.
I think this category.
You think it's too painful? Is that Heather or Julia?
This proves that women get pissed off very easily,
all the time. This is a very interesting experience.
And you can't even come to the table and talk about this stuff without either wanting to cry or getting pissed.
This is a fascinating experience.
This proves that men stir up shit even more than women.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey, Maureen.
Yeah, that's my specialty.
Maureen, this is Vicky.
You're good at it.
What?
Vicky, what I think is, you know, every situation is going to be different. So even though we started out trying to talk about this in more of general terms, I think what ends up happening is everybody, I know in my particular case, has certain experiences that they have gone through. And so what it shows is that, there again, it's all about the individual and it's all about intent.
Correct.
So we're all traumatized.
No,
we're all traumatized to some degree.
No, look, it started off with our guy friend here on the phone saying, it pisses me off when women cry in the office.
Who said that, Carl or Jerry?
I don't know.
Julia.
Broad general.
Julia was pissed off.
Hold on.
Who's I? Is this Carl or?
I'd like to redact that.
Hey.
It doesn't piss me off. I'm just saying they do.
Who is this? It doesn't mean it's a bad thing.
But if you want to know.
I gotta have some authority. Maureen's trying to turn this into Oprah, right?
Animals, start crying, and the floor is yours.
Yeah, well, you know what?
So weapons are tears are a weapon.
No, I think women legitimately cry. I'm sure there's some people who fake it. I want to move on from crying.
I cry, but not at work.
Okay.
Who is this? Is this Carl or is this Jerry?
That's Jerry.
Jerry. Okay. Who is it, Carl or Jerry?
And Julia,
hold on. Hey, no one's going to be able to understand. The people who listen to this are not going to be able to understand what you're saying one at a time, or I'm going to have to get rough, right?
Okay.
Animal?
Okay, right.
Animal.
You're
animal.
When you want to talk.
Maureen.
Animal. Can I ask a question? Can we do this again? But can we take maybe one question and make the whole hour about one question?
Do we have to hang up now?
No, you don't have to hang up, although let me ask Maureen. We're starting to go into the – I don't think
– No, we can keep going. If everybody's interested in this, we don't have to do talk sourcing today.
Okay.
Unless there's anybody here that came
there's nobody
specifically
here.
For talk sourcing.
We didn't get – you know what? This isn't the most popular show. We can take about 20 callers now. We've only got 7, although very vocal ones, I have to say. I've never had this much trouble controlling the conversation.
Well, then don't.
That's not true.
People can't hear.
What I find interesting, Animal, is this topic is obviously very important to women, but not men.
No, it's obviously important to you.
No.
He calls in every week.
No, I'm just saying the women have thought about this topic and brought examples and experiences to the table, and most of us men, we don't think about this stuff. We've never really – I mean, we don't have something we remember from 20 years ago about a boss telling us what to wear and to work because none of this has ever happened to us.
You know, I'll tell you something from quite a while ago. When I was in grade 9.
Oh, geez. Was that 89 years ago?
This is really interesting to me. See, Jerry, you're
somebody
wrong. This is interesting to me. Okay, somebody just hung up. Okay, fine. I was in grade 9. We only had 7, 8, and 9 in that junior high. And this girl, my friend was running for school president, and so was this other girl. They were both in my class. The girl won, Heather, and I told my dad, and he said, nope, a girl shouldn't be president. Then about 5 years ago, I mentioned it to him again to show him how sexist he was, and he said, I never said that. Right? So even like a reactionary person like my father, his ideas have changed. So even if things were bad in the past, I think they're rapidly. I've never – when I was 16, I was working in a coffee shop. They moved me into the lunch area. And the woman – I was a young woman in charge, and she said, do you mind working for a woman? I didn't know why she asked me that. I was totally shocked, right? So I don't know. I think I'm typical with people that I know. It's just not an issue, just like Jerry said. But maybe it was for other.
You make a good point, Animal. It's Julia. And the thing I was thinking about is before the show was that I have horror stories just like everyone else because I've been around long enough, but I don't see much these days in terms of this. What I see is women making different choices these days and realizing that they can do that, and, yes, it may cost them money, or, yes, they may have different career paths, but they're choosing, and that's a good thing.
Okay. Is there anything specific? I want to talk about maternity leave. Heather wrote something very interesting. But is there anybody who wants to talk about something from a recruiting point of view? Because, like, I kind of would have liked it if we would have talked about the way recruiters have to deal with this issue. Julia did give us an example. I had that one example. Anybody else have something from a recruiting point of view?
I do, Animal.
Okay, go ahead.
In the restaurant business, which is where that's my niche, there are very few women in the upper management roles. And so I've been encouraged, quote unquote, to help find qualified women in searches. So it's a little opposite the effect that one would think.
Is that like diversity recruiting? Do women come under that heading?
It can only come under that heading if somebody's under a decree order. We can't actually go after it. But, you know, it's encouraged, let's put it that way.
Okay. Now, you know what? There's one more article I'll mention that there was a study in Sweden in 2006. 8,000 men and women applied through the Swedish Labor Board, has an online database of jobs. The men were contacted by the recruiters more often than the women, accepting cases for the people who didn't put their gender or name in their registration. So I think men had a 20% higher chance of being contacted even when their education and work experience were completely comparable. So apparently even in Sweden, which is supposed to be a very liberal country, there's an unconscious bias. The guy who wrote the study said it's not deliberate discrimination, it's unconscious, and that's proved by the fact that there was sort of this control group of people who didn't enter that any gender identifiable information, and the callback rate was different for them. So I have to tell you something. It doesn't appear in the kind of recruiting I do, but apparently it occurs. Maybe it's in certain kinds of positions. Anybody caught a comment on that?
This is Jennifer. I think it's probably people tend to hire people like themselves. So the people that were making those calls were more than likely men. So it's a bias within them to probably gravitate towards the male profiles first. So it's not necessarily bias in the sense that they were going against women. They were probably going against hiring people like them.
You know
what
Jennifer, let me take it 1 second. You said something a second ago that didn't seem to be corroborated by a lot of the other comments here. It's that you said people hire people like themselves, so men are going to hire people who look like, you know, who are men. But it was said here a number of times, I think by Heather gave an example, maybe it's a dated example, but that, you know, women identify with the male managerial style as well. So wouldn't they be equally inclined to recruit men over women?
I don't think so, not necessarily. It's more okay. That they're going to hire the person that they think they can work best with, and for men, they tend to think men. Women might think that they work better with men, so they might call them men as well. But it's
okay. What about your experience? You said you were always the sole or first, sometimes the first woman in a senior management role. What about your personal experience? Anything there? You mentioned leadership issues. Anything else?
I've never experienced any as far as me being a woman. I don't know what the people around me experienced in regards to that. I have had comments made to me that were certainly made to me because I was a woman.
Like?
Things like when I was pregnant, not being able to, I was selected to be the leader of a new initiative by the CEO, and the other members of my team said, no, that wouldn't look good because she was pregnant. You know, that was 17 years ago. But those things do happen. Things like being a single parent and having to leave at 5 o'clock to take your kid to soccer practice when everybody else on the leadership team, their wife stays home and doesn't work and they don't have to leave. You know, those things become an issue, and you just have to work through that. And is it because you're a woman or a single parent? I don't know, but you know, they happen. You know,
and they are related to the pay disparity. Those things are related to pay disparity.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a pay disparity.
Oh.
What are you talking about?
I've never seen a pay disparity in my 22 years of recruiting, and I work in IT, but I place quite a few females, and it's never been apparent to me.
Maybe it's not apparent in one industry, but across the board, there is pay disparity.
I know Carl says not in his industry either.
In what way?
Only if you're on Obama's
team. Is a woman paid less than a man? I'd like you to point to one.
Obama staffers.
I can tell you what I think on this. This is Julia. I think that women tend to ask for less money, and therefore they get less money.
That's part of it.
I do think that there's a disparity, but I think that part of that is because if you ask for $75,000 a year and you get it, and the guy next to you asks for $80,000 and he gets it, how is that discriminating against you?
Mm-hmm.
It's not.
I know. I think you missed the point, Jer.
It's Carl, and I'm not missing the point. Somebody's
saying
there's a pay disparity. There isn't a pay disparity.
Well, for example, the Durbin statistic that Animal was talking about earlier, where people with families men tend to make more and women tend to make less, which I thought was interesting. And it was like, well, why would that be? And I've actually been privy to some of those discussions. And the idea often is that when a man has a family, you have to keep him employed and pay him more because he has a family to support. But when a woman has a family, you don't have to pay her as much because she's got a man behind her that is the breadwinner.
Well, does she?
Not always, definitely not often.
But there's a cultural bias there that I have experienced in.
You know, that's got to be going out the window, just like what Jennifer was talking about with the other management members having a wife at home. How often is that going to be happening in the future?
I would kill to have a wife at home.
I do have a wife at home.
It's happened in my situation. Every single leadership team I've been on, every other member on the leadership team has had a wife who does work for a nanny.
It's Jennifer, since you recruit her.
So that becomes the barrier, the access, the ability to be there. Mm-hmm. You know, those things tend to come
up. But isn't that a choice?
Isn't that a reasonable concern, though, as well?
I think it's something, though, that's easily dismissed. That's where I do believe it does make a difference in some cases, women and men, because
men tend to
dismiss them.
Hmm.
Jerry, I think it was you that said, does it matter? Does it matter if a woman has a husband that she received the same amount of pay as if she didn't have a husband?
He was being difficult.
No, I don't think so.
No,
but also, let me just raise one issue there. Divorce is so common now, it's not fair to say she's got a husband.
Okay, let's
say,
what's the divorce rate?
One in the future.
What's the divorce rate?
It's like 50%.
Okay, so there's 50% married.
No.
Yeah, but if you're married today, you might not have a husband earning you money
is
tomorrow.
Let me ask the question very simply. Is it more important for a man with a family to earn more than a woman without a family?
They should earn the same.
Okay.
Who said that, Jerry?
Yeah, Jerry Albright is on record as saying.
They do earn the same.
Carl?
Do you think they do earn the same?
They do earn the same. There's no thinking about it. They do.
They do earn the same.
Unless you're on Obama's staff, the women make 80%. I'm telling you, this is a fact.
Is it really?
Jim Durbin bring that to the table?
Yeah, believe it or not, Carl. I'll send you the link.
Well,
this is Jennifer again. Having been in the room when a lot of those pay decisions were made for other people, and including myself.
Who is this?
This is Jennifer, over 20 years. Those things do come up. Now, are they right to come up? No. But I personally have been told, working for a Fortune 500 company a number of years ago, I was not given the same amount of a raise with a boss who was very happy with me, and his answer to my face was because my husband worked for another Fortune 500 company, and he knew that he probably made good money. So he would like to take the percent of raise that I would get and give it to someone else.
Did you say that was 20 years ago?
Yes, that was almost 20 years ago. But I've since that time been in the
scarred
room with similar statements. Where
well,
we know
yeah, we are all traumatized to some
made
degree.
About others. It
okay.
happens. It doesn't mean that it's
Let's
right.
Let's all have a good cry and
happen.
Move on.
Well, yeah.
Well, I can tell you something, Jerry.
That was Carl.
Jerry, you know what?
That
you know
was
what?
Carl. Is Heather
I
still here?
I can tell the difference.
I'm
She's
here.
She's got the
Heather?
Inside dope.
Heather.
Yes. Wait a second.
Dry my tears. Okay.
Maureen wants
okay.
to take over. It's your show time. But Jennifer's got the inside dope. She was a VP of HR. She knows how it works. None of us, well, the rest of us are just talking at the top of our hats. That's why I asked for recruiting stories. Not many of us have any examples of discrimination. Julia had this one recently. It was a mild one, even though, you know, I mean, it was just about wearing pants or a skirt, right? It's not the end of the world.
What
even
kind
if it
of company
is,
was that,
there.
Though? Like a, I mean, like a male show club or something? I mean, what place requires women to wear a skirt today? I'm interested
box
to know.
Box.
Hooters.
Right. Are you recruiting for
shorts.
Hooters again, Julia?
They wear shorts.
No.
No,
okay,
no,
does Jennifer have, Jennifer, I want to come to Jennifer back for a second. Do you have any other, like, inside dope that would, you know, shed some light on these issues? And I'll raise one issue now that I wanted to talk about.
From this century, please.
Maternity leave. I talked to a smart guy, and he said, look, you're in business to make money. If you got a choice between a 25-year-old man and a 25-year-old woman, they're both equally sharp. He said, you're going to choose the man because he's not going to be taking off time to have kids. And he thought that was fair. Now, Heather told a story on recruitingblogs.com about her boss putting a crib in her office and having someone there to take care of the baby when she was busy on the phone. Is that right, Heather?
It's absolutely true.
Tell
uh-huh.
the story,
absolutely
Heather.
Absolutely true.
Tell the story.
I was a contract attorney and had been working with this guy for about 5 years, and he really valued me, and I was getting ready to leave for maternity leave and had found somebody to cover and do work while I was gone, and he said, I really don't want you to be gone very long. How long will you be gone? And I said, well, it depends, because I nurse for a long time. And he said, well, okay, let me think about it. And the next week there was a crib in my office.
Wow.
And yeah. And he was, you know, I want you back. Bring the baby. And
was
and
it
so
a small
we,
office? I mean, were there other people there? Or was it,
it,
I mean, was it smaller?
It was, we had about four attorneys and three paralegals and a staff. And,
oh, that's cool.
Were you the only female?
You know, busy litigation practice, and you know, he'd come back from court and pick up the baby and say, I need to get perspective.
Ha, ha, ha.
And it was cool. And then, you know, it got to the point where I couldn't concentrate, you know, because it's very hard to do, you know, to be a mom and an attorney and write something coherent all at the same time, and I
it's
learned
it's hard to do it all, Heather, isn't it?
You can do it all, you just can't do it all at the same time.
That's right.
Yeah.
And
so
this is Jennifer again. I think it's important. You know, we've been kind of laughing about people bringing up old experiences or things not in this century. The reality is, everybody on this call that is a female
is either now in a leadership role or has their own business. And so they've moved beyond being the one that that happened to
mm-hmm.
at some point in their career. That doesn't mean it's not still happening. We don't have
right.
entry-level females on this call who are probably experiencing the same issues that many of us did as we kind of came up through the ranks. Now we don't
exactly.
necessarily experience all those things because we have more control over the situation or in some cases are, mm-hmm. you know, the top dog. But it doesn't mean it doesn't happen. And it does.
Yeah, but
does
Jennifer, let me ask
yes.
you a question. Is the issue of maternity leave, is that discrimination or just, you know, the way things are?
It's discrimination under the law. It's illegal
it's
as hell.
The reality that people do have to consider those things or do consider those things, it doesn't make it fair. Life is not fair, but it's not necessarily fair, but people do make those decisions, right or wrong. They
okay, because I know here if – you can't discriminate against someone who's pregnant when you're in a hiring process, right?
You can't.
Even if,
I guarantee
no.
you a female who's 9 months pregnant interviewing for a job, no matter how qualified she is, they will likely find a way
mm-hmm.
not to make that decision.
And what do you think of that?
Is it fair? No.
Yeah.
Does it happen?
No.
Yes.
Not fair.
Okay, but what if the guy needed to hire somebody or the gal needed to hire somebody for a big project starting next month, and a nine-month-along woman comes in for the job? Is he supposed to hire this person for the project?
Under the law, she's the most qualified, yes.
No, she's not available for the project.
So if she's not available, then he may be able to get out of it, right?
Exactly.
Because you've got to be able to show up.
Heather,
that's
I'm going to write
exactly
a haiku
right.
about this, I think. I'm going to write a haiku for you.
All right, that'd be cool.
Maternity.
you gotta call me baby.
What about that?
A lot of it
darling.
Has to do
Hold
with
on.
Choices.
Heather also has been called darling and honey, right, or something like that?
Kiddo.
Oh,
and
kiddo.
I'm in my mid-40s, and so now I kind of like it, but I didn't when I was in my 20s and 30s.
Yeah, but that's not a gender issue. I mean, even darling,
oh.
I mean, it's a bit of affection.
But, you know, the 20-year-old male attorney would never be called kiddo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be Mr.
Yeah, but was it a put down or was it affectionate?
It was both.
It
was both.
To me, it's just such a small, petty thing to be concerned with. I mean,
easy to you for you to say.
Well, but it has to do with the credibility. I mean, I did not feel like the things that I said were being taken seriously by somebody who was calling me kiddo.
People call me dude or man or bra. They say bra sometimes. And that doesn't bug me.
Okay.
Know.
Okay. Anybody have anything else
they
want to discuss?
My sister's a tax attorney, and when she first started, not when she first started, she was probably 5-6 years into her career, one of the senior partners took a liking to her, and he used to take her into meetings with him. And they'd be in the conference room with the client, and he would introduce her as his Scribner, and he would expect
his
her to
Scribner.
Say no. His Scribner.
Lovely.
Do you guys watch Mad Men?
No. I hate that show.
I love it.
Oh, it's awful.
Of course
it wasn't
you
long
love
ago
it.
That, I mean, you would tell your secretary, hey, honey, fix us some drinks right in your office, and your secretary would light a cigarette for you. We've come so far since then that now to be concerned with somebody saying kiddo or something, I mean, it's kind of – I mean, we've come a long way to where
– What about sexual harassment? We didn't talk about it.
There's some truth to what he just said. I mean, really. I mean, but you've got
to
be older
to
and you have to have some seasoning in order to be able to shrug and shake it off.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sexual
okay.
harassment still alive and well in today's workplace.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
No, what do you mean by sexual harassment? Someone making
oh
a pass
God.
At you?
Oh, listen, there's still lots of men out there in management positions that
and
when they
women.
Take
them.
And women. Tell
and
your
it
story.
Doesn't matter, right.
Tell
it
your
doesn't
story.
Matter.
I was
tell your story. Pam, tell your story that just happened.
Go ahead.
Which is why Happy Spinster was born.
Make it March, Pam. Animals impatient.
Very well. Right. Animal, listen. You're just going to have to be patient, real quick.
We're almost out of time.
This
here.
Is worth
I'm
it. This is worth it.
It
management,
will.
Men in business that I'm still working with and long-term friends, will still grab you, as you're walking down the hall or in their office or touch you or want to sit next to you or, try to grab a quick little kiss or this, that, and the other. Or they've worked with you and all of a sudden they use their position. And all of a sudden, and they know your situation, your story, and all of a sudden they'll flip it on you, and all of a sudden they're doing you a favor by wanting to bed you.
Do these guys know of your website?
Oh, they do now.
Well,
did he find out, Pam?
Oh, yeah, I sent him a note.
Oh, good.
Here's what I did. After this last business, this is a man that, I'm courting, trying to get, court business through. And I've known him for several years, and he's married and a grandfather and in the whole gamut.
Yuck.
Never saw it coming, and all of a sudden, because I'm a single woman in the business place,
And you're lonely because you're a single
girl. And I'm lonely
girl.
Because I'm single, that he wants to do me a favor, basically. And I was so angry because, A, it ruined not only a friendship, but it also ruined any business I will ever want to do with this person, period.
Yeah, that's the shame of it.
And
you know what? That's inappropriate, but it doesn't sound like sexism to me or
discrimination. Oh, no, it was definitely sexual harassment.
But I got to say,
Hold on. Was this guy in a position of authority over you?
He was in a position, yes, to some degree, in some of the dealings that we were hoping to unlock, yes.
Wait. So he was your boss?
Not really. It's very strange.
It's not sexual harassment.
It is sexual harassment.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
It doesn't have
boss.
To be a direct employer-employee relationship. It can be in a broader business context, too.
Correct.
No.
I hate to bring this back to Pam's website here, but... Look at the stuff that's on this. When you just go to her Ning site, there's an ad for married dating.
Oh, that's not us. That's Google.
Google.
Okay,
yeah,
that's not
our site. We have no control over it.
The center story is she beds a different man every 5 days.
Yep.
There's on the.
Didn't one of the members put that up, Pam?
Yeah, no, one of the members put it up.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, so the guy may have heard of your blog, and he saw that, and he thinks... Hey,
No. The blog was born after that event. The blog was born, and it was born,
revenge.
In revenge, basically.
Oh, this is the greatest revenge, because you've got number one law of a perfect body on here, Italian women photos.
What's the website address?
Are you the Google ads.
Those are Google ads. We have no control over it.
Pam, you're going to have to.
I realize
you're going to have to go the 1995 route, I guess.
Yeah.
Well,
what
I'm
it is very.
Saying.
Listen, it's very simple. It's very simple.
That's all Google ads. I'm looking at it.
Happy.
You can be. You can just because you're a female, whether you're married or single. The point is that in the workplace, you still have guys really reaching and reaching. And taking advantage or trying to take advantage of women, and it puts them in a very uncomfortable position, which is, oh, my God, it affects my job, my earning, or any potential business.
And I agree with that, and I think that's completely wrong. I've experienced that myself, being in those kind of an environment. And I saw the pain that it put on people, and I'm absolutely against it.
Right. And so, so I ended up sending this guy a note saying, the next time you pull this crap, just remember I'm a blogger.
And here's my blog site.
End of story.
Let me ask the guys in here. Do you
how much time do you think you got left to ask
2 minutes. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's almost no time. Go ahead. You'll see how much you get out.
Okay. I'm just wondering about the guys in here. Do you find this kind of a... tactic threatening?
What kind of tactic?
HappySpinster.ning.com that lays it all out there.
No, I'm okay with it, but I see where the guy had the idea
gorgeous,
that maybe I should hit on Pam. I'm just saying,
it
kind
That's
of
not Pam in the picture.
Somebody
she's prettier than that.
A little bit of Erica by my side.
Is the show over? It's almost over, Jerry. There's about 15 seconds left.
And you wasted it with 30 seconds of that.
Thank you, everybody.
I don't know.
I did my best here today, but
Do it again.
I'm not hanging up. I want to see what happens.
Got some stuff. Maureen's got some real energy around this topic. Susan, talentsynchronicity.com.
Oh.
ZMC squared, or yeah, ZMC squared. Sorry, I didn't get .com. That's Vicky Z. Lauder. Namesorcer.com. Maureen Sheriff. CECsearch.com. Carl Chapman. VerbalSummary.com. Jerry Albright. BizWorks. BizWerks. Julia Stone. And who did I forget? Pam Simon, thehappyspinster.com. Everybody's going to watch her site from now on. Thank you, everybody.
It gives a conflicting message. Hold on, man. I'm not hanging up.
You
better. We're not hanging up.
Not hanging up.
How's that?
I'm going to ride this baby off the cliff.